What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Eagles and the Rams on Sunday. Obviously, Merrill and Mike on the call. And it's a good matchup. Now, not one we should completely take for granted, but certainly it could have been worse. Tell you what, man. John, it's a lot better than the two seed in the AFC has, having to face Baltimore.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it's a major difference.
Think of the, the physicality of that game. I'm not saying our game against the Rams isn't going to be physical, but it does feel like a different category of game. Playing the Ravens and Buffalo, man, that just feels so rough and tumble. And the Rams feel a little bit less so. But they are, to use Jimmy's word, galvanized right now with everything that's going on in their community. And that is a lift. They've got a short week, but they just played a home game where they had to travel to Arizona and bus their fans.
Yeah.
It, over 30,000 fans over, whatever that number was. That was crazy. They're having to jump through a lot of hoops that are, man.
That's a tough one. I mean, they're
tricky.
They're sleeping right now in L.A. They landed probably a few hours ago. The players are sleeping. The coaches are probably, it's 3:30 out there, so maybe the coaches are still sleeping. But
I can't stress
the coaches
got to
work quick.
This preparation is.
That's tough.
Because you include the travel on top of all that, the short week. Really, it's like a day and a quarter shorter than what ours is to begin with. Then the fact that we get to just sit here and sleep in our beds. They have to travel across the country.
Again,
it really does feel like they got half the time to work with that we do.
Now, one thing that will help their coaches, they did prepare for the Eagles already. Not effectively, but at least they did prepare. So
Somewhat. They
have something in their back pocket from 2 months ago.
But there are things that you simply cannot prepare for.
No, I get it.
And that, in part, is just the Eagles' run game, which they struggled so mightily with the last time we played them on November 24th.
That's right.
9.8 yards a carry Saquon put on them.
Yeah. All right. So
that's not going to look. They're going to try to have a plan to insert an extra player into the box whenever possible. They have to stop the run very clearly, but that's going to open things up for beating them over the top. And remember, with AJ having one catch, it just feels like this Rams defense, this Eagles offense is also ripe for over the top explosiveness, and they're going to get on the board with that style.
Look, bottom line is I'll be really surprised if the Eagles lose. I mean, that's where I'm at. I think we should feel pretty confident. All right, 215-592-9494.
I'm super excited about the way everything shapes up. You talked about the fact that we only have one injury. That's such a major injury, though.
N'Kobe
Dean. But my worry, again, my biggest worry is I'm almost looking ahead of this game. Like, my brain keeps jumping. When I think N'Kobe Dean, our green dot, I think, oh man, Jahmyr Gibbs is going to be rough. It's going to be tough to defend Jahmyr Gibbs. Jahmyr Gibbs is on the Lions.
Yeah.
He's not a member of the Rams. We've got to think Kyren Williams. We've got to think Rams. What do they have to offer that gives us trouble? And right now, it's their strength matches our strength.
Well,
their passing is against our passing defense.
Yeah, the good news is I think Sirianni has a great track record, and the players have a great track record of staying locked into the moment. And so, look, we can talk about the impact of N'Kobe versus, Baltimore if they play again, right? I mean, that's a tough one. Detroit. But the Eagles players obviously will focus on the Rams, and I think they'll handle that. All right. Now, one issue about the game we got to present. It's a legitimate question. I think most people will say, stick with who we've got here in Philly and have had for a while. But it has to now be asked with repeated struggles by Jake Elliott. Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. In 2025, Armin Chevrolet proudly celebrating 25 years of serving the automotive needs of the Delaware Valley. Together, let's drive, ArminChevy.com. Here's the poll question that has to be asked, because it's a question the Eagles themselves have to ask. And I don't think they're going to switch kickers, but I can't imagine they haven't contemplated it. Here's the question.
Too late now.
It might be, but it might not be. Here's the question. Who should the Eagles kicker be versus the Rams? A, Jake Elliott. B, best available free agent kicker. Now, John, let me ask you a question, because I've thought what you said, but I don't think it's true. What is the rationale for it's too late? Like, what difference does it make if you sign a kicker with 3 weeks to go in the regular season or 1 week into the postseason?
I would have liked my kicker and holder to have tons and tons of reps and time together.
Okay, that's interesting.
And there's just so much thing can go wrong in that process. The process of snapping it and holding it and getting the kick up.
Of course, using an ineffective kicker can also
go wrong. I felt like if there was a time to do this, to bring someone in, the most effective free agent kicker off the street.
Mid-December,
it would have been, would have been at the end of the regular season where you bring him in and let the two kickers compete in practice situations, you know, with the whole team there watching, adding a little pressure. I've seen that. I've witnessed that. And it's been, you know, you take... It's not like it really disrupts the flow of a team if the kicker's got a different face. I'm sorry. It is just very cutthroat
to
say it that
way. It's the mechanics.
But yes,
I got it. That makes sense.
You need a kicker to kick, and you need a kicker to kick well and consistently. And we haven't had that when we're missing extra points now. Initially, it was those over 50. Hey, maybe his leg strength is suffering, but man, you're pulling the extra points. It feels like it's gotten into his head, and that was my biggest worry. And now I think it's too late to bring someone in from the outside because they simply would not have enough snap to hold to kick that funk, that processing time that you practice that. They just haven't had enough reps.
Look, it's a reasonable answer. I'll say this. Obviously, John, if the Eagles lose a playoff game because of Jake Elliott, you'll kick yourself for not, you know. And so we'll see. Look, it doesn't happen that often, but it does happen. Playoff games get, you know, I remember Minnesota a couple years ago had like a 30-yard field goal to beat Seattle. The guy shanked it. I mean, we've seen it. I remember even the very end of Vinatieri's career.
How about double doink? I mean, we
double
saw
doink.
It with our own team, yeah.
Double doink, that's right. To the Eagles' benefit, obviously to the Eagles' detriment, it was 2010. David Akers near the end of his reign and you know, one of Andy's, actually it was Andy's last playoff game when the Eagles lost to Green Bay. So it happens. We hope it doesn't happen here. I don't expect the Eagles to switch kickers, but it's a reasonable question, should they? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. By the way, when you call in today, a chance to win a really cool pair of tickets. This work for you, John?
I love Metallica.
Is this maybe resign?
Your pals.
Win the tickets.
Yeah, they are big Raiders fans. James was wearing my jersey when they did the surprise concert out in the parking lot for the AFC Championship game in 2002.
That's great.
They got a flatbed and got out there in the parking lot, and they were just playing songs.
Well, how about you hang out with these guys?
Cool.
I know last year, I think, you got sick or a family member got sick when Green Day was in town. But how about May 25th? I mean, it's probably I guess that's maybe Memorial Day weekend, Sunday Memorial Day weekend. How about you hang out on stage with Metallica? All right, here's the deal. We're giving away a pair of tickets to see the great band Metallica, M72 World Tour, happening Sunday, May 25th at Lincoln Financial Field. Single-day tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. So this Friday, excuse me, I take that back. James, this says January 11th. So I assume, I don't know if that means last Friday or this upcoming Friday. But bottom line is they either are on sale or are about to go on sale. I'm quite candidly not certain as we are live here on the air. But Metallica's coming to town. You can obviously purchase the tickets at Ticketmaster.com. That's Ticketmaster.com. We also today are giving away a pair of tickets, and here's how you can win them on the program. In addition to all the conversation about the Eagles and the Eagles versus the Rams, we will ask you what did not last long in honor of two things. First off, the Minnesota Vikings in the playoffs did not last long. But perhaps more notably in human history, it is back on this date. Rhea, this one didn't last long. 1954, Joe DiMaggio in Maryland. What was that, about 9 months?
It wasn't. Didn't he put a flower?
Love of his life.
I know.
On her grave, like for every week.
Dying words, right? Were they definitely? I didn't know if that was like urban legend or not.
I don't know.
Now I can see Maryland again, right?
I can see Maryland was the report. And he would never do an interview if someone asked him about Marilyn Monroe. Like, it was like, don't
amazing.
Go there. You know, he apparently really loved her.
Yeah.
And But obviously, you know, she had her issues, and I think, you know, Joe D just couldn't deal with that. Anyway, it didn't last long, but apparently the love did, but the marriage did not. We'll ask you today at 215-592-9494, in honor of Marilyn and Joe D, or the Minnesota Vikings short-lived playoff run. John Ritchie, and of course, what didn't last long is relative. Their short-term didn't last long. I mean, let me put it this way. You answer the question you want to. I'll go give an example. Articles of the Confederation. It lasted longer than the Minnesota Vikings, but the Constitution came in and we had a different form of government. So it wasn't like a year, but it was a bad early form of government for the United States. Whatever it was, a couple years, we said, scrap that, throw out that piece of paper, let's go to the Constitution. Didn't last long. John Ritchie, what did not last long? Best answer, whoever provides it, is going to win the Metallica tickets.
New Coke.
New Coke is a great answer.
New Coke was awesome. Don't let anyone tell you different. But it was only on the market from April 23rd, 1985 to July 11th. 1985.
That's
it's the
incredible.
Same year.
That's why like I didn't realize months. It was this. I did not realize it was that short.
Yeah,
wow.
April 23rd to That's July wild. 11th. And
they were like, whoops.
I loved it. It was sweeter. It was better. And the American public rose up again wow. against it.
Quickly,
Coke.
Apparently.
So fast, they ripped it off the shelves.
Seltzer, what did not last long?
Absolutely, I was an early
Your
peaker.
Football career.
Well, my football starting career in particular was half a game. And my football career was maybe about four or five before I got injured. Not bad, James. Way to take a shot. Rhea, what didn't last long?
I'm also going to go with the marriage. Dennis Rodman and Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
9 days. My favorite part of it is when he filed for the annulment. One of the reasons was unsound mind.
Oh, my. Of him
really?
Or her.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who.
Which one? All right, give us big time answers. What did not last long? We'll have some fun with that. Best answer, whoever provides it wins the Metallica tickets. 215-592-9494. We'll get to the Sixers Arena reality. And what are your early thoughts on the Eagles and the Rams? Let's get to Dan in Philadelphia. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are we today?
Good, buddy.
Doing well, Dan.
Joe, next time you do a promo for calling a game, it's Mike Merrill and Devin on the call.
Well, it wouldn't be Mike and Merrill. It would be Merrill and Mike and Devin.
All right.
There you go.
But that, you know, she's a big part of that now.
She's a big part of it. We're all very happy for her.
That's right. Listen, going into last night's game, like, after watching Minnesota just crumble and Sam Darnold collapse, you know, in the big picture, I was really hoping that Minnesota, like, squeaked by and won. I would have rather seen – I know it sounds crazy because their offense and – something about it was telling me I'd rather see Minnesota than L.A. just because of the trajectory that both teams were going. And it just looked like the picture was getting too big for Darnold.
Well, it did look that way. Look, Dan, let's be real. You base that, I think, in large part based on how it looked last night. If Sam Darnold comes out slinging the ball and plays well, you say it's a one-game aberration. He played bad versus Detroit. But you form that narrative because it was two in a row. And I get it. He was horrible. And you know what? Jaws called it. We'll have Jaws on the program in about half an hour.
I mean, he did.
About two months ago.
Overrated.
No, here's what he said. I don't trust him in a big spot. That's what he said.
And when I saw it last week, I assumed it was going to happen this week, and then I figured if we end up playing them, that it would happen then.
So well, you know what it makes me wonder, Dan? How was he so good for 4 months?
I think Kevin O'Connell might have done the greatest coaching job in the history of the NFL this year. Yeah.
Well,
right?
I think that the competition gets better, right? I guess, but Detroit, it's almost like a playoff game, and then you're playing the best teams that are left in the league in the wild card weekend.
It's still not easy to get to 14 wins, though, man. I mean, that is a boatload of wins.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't know.
In that division. It is impressive.
And as for Jake Elliott, I think what's weird with Philadelphia is our kickers are actually, like, really threaded into our teams. I think more than most, like, you know, with David
They're
Akers,
really what?
Yeah, like,
threaded. Well, like, yeah, we've threaded. Had two long-term kickers here in the last, you know, this century.
Yeah,
two of them.
I feel like I don't know about other cities, but I always feel like I feel like other cities don't even notice their kickers, as in Philadelphia. They're very prominent on our team.
Well, you do when you have a good one. That's the bottom. All cities, you do when you – I mean, look, Vinatieri, you know, two different teams. Morton Anderson, you do when you have a good one.
I think you got to ride with them.
It is risky, though, Dan. It is risky.
I know, but he hit one of the biggest kicks in Eagles history for us. So, and he still has the leg strength. So, you know, that's
I don't know that, Dan. Why did he miss you know, 6 of 7 from 50 and out if he still has the leg strength? Why was he no longer kicking off? You know, why is our punter kicking off some weeks?
That I can't figure out.
That is strange. And it just makes me think, like, are they saving his leg?
Yeah.
Because the leg strength is problematic. I know that being around kickers, like, I can remember Seabass. Sebastian Janikowski felt like if he, and I always felt like this was a total racket, felt like if he practiced too much during the week, he would be worse game time in terms of how far he could kick from. I mean, this guy could bomb it from 75.
I think one of the strongest legs we've ever seen, if not the strongest still,
but
up there.
I felt like it was an excuse for him to like feel better about going and golfing while the rest of us were practicing. But, you know, maybe there's something to it.
Maybe. All right, Dan, give me a great answer. What didn't last long?
President Harrison's term.
Oh, good answer.
That's a really good answer.
Yeah, was it 30 days, something like that? President Harrison. So he gets sick. Is it urban legend?
He got sick at the, like,
well, I've also heard that's not true.
Inauguration, right? In that,
his inaugural.
He gives
the
speech in the rain. But I've also heard that's not true, so I don't know.
I've heard it's true.
I've heard it's true also, and I've heard it's not true. I wasn't there. Someone help us out. All right,
I don't think we know anybody who was there.
No, we don't. All right, here's what we do know is true. The 76ers will be staying in South Philadelphia. There will be a new arena. There was some confusion initially. I even had a couple of friends after the show yesterday. I guess we didn't explain it well. They're like, wait, Joe, the Sixers are getting their own arena? Or it's with the Flyers? No, it's with the Flyers. The answer is it's with the Flyers. It's a big old agreement. I don't know how they came to it so quickly, frankly. I mean, this, when you think about the entities involved, Sixers, Flyers, Comcast, Spectacor, you know, it's complicated. And not just, you know, unions, like there's a lot of stuff going on here. So it came together, frankly, faster than I would think a big deal normally would. But with that said,
well,
they were talking behind the scenes.
Yeah. Well, that's if you buy that they really pivoted really recently. Well, anyway, make it or did it is my point. Let's listen to what Josh Harris said yesterday. Big press conference yesterday. We won't air much from it, but this kind of gets to the heart of at least how he presented the 76ers' view. I don't believe his first sentence, okay, but putting that right out there. But you do get an explanation, and here's what he said.
We didn't really change our mind, actually. We were really committed to Market East, but you know, obviously when we also had our North Star was doing the right thing by Philly, and when you know, a lot, you know, deals don't come together exactly when you want them. And, you know, when Comcast and when Brian, you know, Adam Silver said, look, guys, you're fighting. You know, let's try to come together. We felt we could build a better arena. We could also revitalize Market East. And we felt that it was 1 + 1 = 3 situation. And so we pivoted. We pivoted on behalf. It's a little more complicated for all of us. Comcast was willing generously, even though they had put in a lot of money into the existing arena to make it great, to move up their time frame. And all of us made compromises to do the right thing by Philly. And one thing I can tell you, just I'll stop there and let others say, but one thing I can tell you about President Johnson and Mayor Parker is they're tough. Like they're going to represent your interests well. So for sure, we're all, you know, you can depend on them to do the right thing by the city and to, you know, garner, you know, everything that we have to support the city. So it wasn't planned, but it happened. First meeting was in early December, and we got, you know, you can't, we got the mayor involved as soon as we could.
All right, so that's Josh Harris yesterday. It gives you, you know, a decent idea of kind of what went on. I mean, I'll say this. First off, I think most of
represent our interest.
Well, I think
their
some
North
of it make,
Star was us, so that's
James.
Nice. I really appreciate
it. I mean, the
that.
First sentence, we didn't change our mind.
Stop it.
I mean, really? I mean, for 2 years,
just
we heard about
guided by that North Star of what's good for Philadelphia. That's why I own the Commanders and the Devils, because I know Philadelphia loves that and appreciates that about me.
We didn't change our minds.
I'm all about Philadelphia.
Oh, my God. And here's the thing I'll say when I talk about I'm surprised.
You can't do that. You can't say that.
Well,
you can't come out and pretend.
He did. Look, here's
and
the
expect us to just.
No, it was John. It was a never mind.
Never mind.
Thanks, Josh, for thinking about us.
And here's the irony to reacting to this. I think most people are happy this is the outcome.
Correct.
We just don't like how they arrived at it.
Well, they wasted time, money.
Yeah, oh, my God.
What you put those people through Chinatown.
Totally.
Rammed it down their throats while pointing at the video camera going, I see you.
I know.
I hear you. Oh, please stop it. I mean, they really made her look bad. They did. Oh, they did.
There's no question.
She's still selling it, and they're in closed door meetings, you know, trying to get this deal done.
And there's politicians that are going to have to run again when their term's up, and that'll be very interesting.
Of course it will.
It's a fascinating dynamic. And two other things that you may not know about, because it wasn't, you know, top of mind yesterday was like, all right, Sixers stay in South Philly, and it was like a whoopsie, not going to Market East. But two other interesting elements, and this is where I talk about, I'm almost surprised that if it really began in December, as he said, the pivot to like, hey, maybe we stay in South Philly. Two other parts that are that complicate it that I'm almost surprised it came together in about 6 weeks. One is that Comcast gets some ownership of the 76ers now. So that's back. If you remember, Comcast owned the Sixers starting in the mid-1990s and owned them until Comcast sold the Sixers to Josh Harris about 15 years ago. So I don't know the minority stake, what percentage, but Comcast is now, again, a minority owner of the 76ers. And the other thing to be aware of, part of this deal, is the quest both teams will have, Sixers and Flyers, with Comcast, to try to get the WNBA to town and to utilize that arena as a attraction to the NBA to get the WNBA into Philadelphia. So it's complicated. There's a lot to it. In the end, I think it's a great result. The way they got there, not so much.